Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
In a world full of noise, long-term thinking stands out. On the Capital Ideas podcast, Capital Group leaders explore the decisions that matter most in investing, leadership, and life. It's a rare look inside a firm that's been helping people pursue their financial goals for more than 90 years. Listen to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
I understand that the kickback for those of you who don't like it, and I do think that most of you do, just whether it's, you know, whether it's tweets, whether it's other reaction, obviously calls to me and Sal on WFAN. I think many of you are fairly enamored with the move, but I think the one, you know, I guess the one source of trepidation would be, and I understand that it's a fairly common theme, and I get it, that, well, you know, the Jets didn't deviate from what they almost always do, and that's going with a first-time rookie head coach who also has a defensive background. And we've seen first-year head coaches get swallowed up here by a multitude of things, and we've also seen these offenses look basically prehistoric. So it is a little counter to the general thought of all right, maybe it's really time to change, which I understand. And I'm not going to shoot that down too much, but I'm also a believer that, you know, just because one guy or plural, you know, several men here with the Jets that had that background that will kind of resist a little bit now, or you might resist now with Glenn, you know, that doesn't mean that Aaron Glenn's going to have the same fate. It simply doesn't. Let me let everybody in on a little secret here. If Woody Johnson doesn't change how he operates, then Aaron Glenn's not going to have a real chance to succeed. He's just simply not. Now, here's, I think, the biggest difference. Well, there's a couple. First of all, I love the fact that Aaron Glenn's been in the building, played for, coached with, been on the staff with either Bill Parcells, who he played for. He's been in the Saints building with Sean Payton. He played for Dallas at the end of his career, so he understands like the magnitude of what the Cowboys represent, and that's obviously very big, certainly more than winning. They don't win a whole lot, but the Cowboys are the Cowboys, so he's not going to be overwhelmed by the New York stage, number one. All right. The other thing, too, is I think for me, very simply, I think the biggest differentiating characteristic, and I'm projecting this, but I feel really confident that this is going to hold true, is that everything that we wanted Robert Saleh to be, everything that we thought Robert Saleh would be, a disciplinarian, hold players accountable, bit of an ass kicker, a bit old school, you know, I think that he wasn't that, clearly. And I think Aaron Glenn's going to be that. I think it's a different delivery. I think it's more authentic. You listen to Glenn in some of these interviews that have popped up, and the one that I played for you last week here on the pod, and I played it on FAN as well, with Aaron when he was asked about, you know, what do you say to people who maybe push back on the thought that this might not be right for the Jets or right for anybody because you are a rookie head coach with a defensive background. That obviously applied more to the Jets than maybe some other teams. And his answer was just sublime. He said, I'm a coach. You know, you could say whatever you want. You could think whatever you want, but I am a coach. If you hire me, you're hiring a coach. And he even went so far. I thought this was pretty brazen, but I thought it was good. I think it was actually perfect. And I said this, he said, listen, I know as much or more about offense than a lot of the guys in the league who are just offensive guys. That's number one. All right. So let me take you to the practice field. And I don't think anybody's going to dispute the fact that conceptually, whether it was with San Francisco or schematically with the Jets before this year, Robert's first couple of years, like his defensive principles are very good. There's no doubt about that. Like the Jets had a top five defense last year. They had no offense. This year, obviously, it took a massive hit. Sauce took a big step back. I didn't think Q had a really great season. They couldn't stop the run. They lost some beef up front. But let's just go to the practice field. Let's say the Jets are coming off a beating, you know, 37, like the Cardinals game, right? 31-6, I think that was. You know, they come back. They have an off day. They come back to the facility. They're on the practice field. And Robert Saleh, who at that point was gone, right? Yeah, I think Robert Saleh was gone at that point. But, you know, in a bad game that went sideways defensively, Robert Saleh is trying to communicate and, you know, get in the ass of some of these players a little bit. Even though I think he played collegiately, you know, he didn't play cornerback in the NFL. He is not going to be, or anywhere in the NFL. Not that that's a prerequisite for me or a precursor to success. I don't believe that. Bill Parcells didn't play in the NFL. Pat Riley was an average NBA, but he was a role player. Jeff Van Gundy didn't play in the NBA. And Greg Popovich didn't play in the NBA. So I don't think that you really need that necessarily. Buck Showalter, a borderline great manager, didn't play in the major leagues, just made it to the minors. But Aaron Glenn could now walk on that practice field, and let's see, it's not 1979 where he's going to grab somebody by the jersey, but he could say, hey, Sauce, when Justin Jefferson does this, you got to do this. And he can show him because he did it. All right, number one. So right away, that's just got a different merit. That's got a different cachet. So that's very favorable for me, for Aaron. The other thing too, and I don't think that this has been hit on enough, is that, and I mentioned that he's been in various buildings with different highly successful older school coaches. That's very important to me. But also, if you recall, maybe one of my top three Jet plays of all time, as I think about this, maybe I'm missing one, but I'd say maybe when Jumbo Elliott caught the touchdown on, you know, against the Dolphins, that Monday Night Miracle. But Aaron Glenn's 108-yard return right before the half, when I guess that would have been Vanderjack for the Colts back in 98, when he tried a 63-yard field goal, and Aaron was put in the end zone, fielded it midway through, and he just tore through the kicking team. And if you recall, Brian Cox, of all people, who wasn't incredibly fast, but Brian basically led him into the end zone. 108 yards later, Aaron Glenn scored one of the most improbable touchdowns. So it doesn't mean that the Jets will do that this year, but what it does mean is not only is he a defensive player, and by the way, Aaron Glenn was a great defensive. It wasn't quite Revis, but he was different. And I think in a lot of ways, in certain aspects of the game, he's more talented than Sauce Gardner. Aaron Glenn was an absolute beast on Sundays. Like, for you younger fans, he was dynamite. He made play, like he made interceptions, something Sauce almost never does, and he could tackle, and he would lower his pads, and he would have leverage points. He was a player on Sundays, there's no doubt. But Aaron Glenn now, when he's the head coach of the Jets, when they first get together, he can not only walk down, obviously, to the defensive side of the building, he can waltz down to the special teams part of the building. And nobody's really illuminating this, and I don't understand why. So it's the three components of football, obviously, offense, defense, special teams. Well, he was a great defensive player and a coordinator, especially this year when he had 10 or 11 guys on IR. And he's had great success in Detroit as a coordinator, all right? But also as a special teamer, you're talking about 66 2/3% of knowing and having done it and now being able to transfer and apply that to your team. So even the best defensive coordinators, and, you know, I'll take Saleh in San Francisco or even some others, but, just top of mind Saleh, and keep it specific to the Jets, he only knew defense. He wasn't going to really weigh in on special teams, certainly not to the degree that Aaron Glenn could. So that is incredibly appealing, being able to walk on a field, and not only with, say, Sauce Gardner, or I don't know if DJ Reed will be back. He probably won't, though I wish he was, but the money. He can also, you know, huddle up with Garrett Wilson. Hey, Garrett, listen, when this guy jams you, I didn't play receiver. I didn't play corner. What do I know? But there's a certain level of engagement and anticipation. And again, I'll use the term leverage points again, that can not only help out his secondary, but also help out his wide receivers. So that to me is so important. I'm so in on Aaron Glenn. Now, I think he's going to crush the press conference. I think he's going to look the part. I think he's going to sound the part. He is a former Jet, which I don't want to overstate that. but it means a little something. Like, he understands what it's like to be part of that franchise. And before I get to Woody and then the GM search and Rodgers quickly here on the pod, the other thing that he lived it. He was on the worst Jets team of all time. You thought this year was bad, young fans. Go back to one of his first years. What was he? Was he drafted in 94? Yeah, I think he was a rookie, the fake spike game, which obviously he was the one who bit on the fake spike. But 1996, you know every butt of every joke. It starts with Rich Kotite. Doesn't start with the butt fumble. It doesn't start with the late hit from Gastineau on the Browns when the Jets should have won that playoff game back in 86, when I think they started 10-1 and very well should have been to the Super Bowl that year. It started, you know, he lived through a 1-15 season. Oh yeah, by the way, the year before that, they were 3-13. So he lived through absolute trash. And, you know, he lived through an owner, may rest in peace, but Leon Hess was not a good owner. He was a good guy. He was likable. He was highly successful in the oil field. And from a business perspective, he was not a good owner. He basically begged Bill Parcells to come save him. And he did. So he was part of that losing culture, excuse me. But he was immediately part of, early in his career, one of the most stark turnarounds in NFL history, where Parcells' first year after the one-win season, they go 9-7, all right? And then the next year, we all know, if you're old enough to have lived this and you know your Jets history, the Jets went 12-4. They won the division for the first time. You know, they won a couple of playoff games. I was at the Jaguars game when Keyshawn went bonkers. He had he ran one in, he caught one. He had a pick at the end when Parcells put him back in the secondary and picked off Brunell. So he lived it. He lived it, and transforming a moribund franchise. And oh yeah, also, by the way, he was with Detroit, who in so many ways are worse. Not now, but until this little renaissance here, or this fairly sizable renaissance, the Lions are more of a joke than the Jets have ever been. Like, that's one thing about the Jets' history. And I understand no Super Bowl, Namath, and the curse, and the deal with the devil, and blah, blah, blah. Blair Thomas, butt fumble, everything else. Like, the Jets' success compared to the Lions, and not even close. The Jets really, in a lot of ways, look like the Patriots over the years compared to the Lions. So I love the Aaron Glenn hire. I do. And I believe he's going to crush it at the presser. And what he's going to say is going to galvanize everybody. And unlike Saleh, who also had a good press conference and obviously looked apart because he's yoked, right? But Glenn's delivery is going to be authentic. Like, when Aaron speaks, I don't think, matter of fact, I'm almost positive that the wheels aren't going to be spinning. Like, you know, and I do this sometimes, and we all do it in life, where you mechanically speak with something because you're thinking about what to say. Like, you're thinking, you're also formulating a sentence simultaneously, and it's tricky. And generally you do that, like, you don't want to say the wrong thing, or you want to make sure that you represent something properly. And I think too often Robert Saleh was doing that. Like, he wasn't just vibing. He wasn't just saying stuff. He was kind of saying things like we thought, or he thought we wanted to hear. And I think a great example was the Hard Knocks. When we first really, I don't mean a press conference after a game, when we first got a look at Robert Saleh. And two things jump out. I remember saying this to Sal, right? Two things. Number one, the ridiculous crow, bird, whatever that stupid analogy was. And it missed the mark, man. It was corny. It was contrived. You could just see guys like, all right, God, let's go. Keep it moving. Let's go. We got to hit the practice field. It didn't work. And the other one that jumped out, and I can't see Aaron Glenn saying something like that. I could see him getting in somebody's ass and the entire room and delivering it like an alpha. But the other thing with Saleh was, this was obviously the first year when Aaron Rodgers was healthy in camp. He made a couple of throws, and I don't know why this bothered me. Well, I do, but I don't know that I really knew why in full time. I remember he goes like this. He goes, oh, oof, oh, oof, what a throw. Oof, oh, God, oh, what an amazing throw. Oof. Like, he was a fan. Like, that's something we would say if we're watching training camp. You turn to your buddy, or you turn to your son. Oh, my God, did you see that throw? That was sick. But for a head coach to be so, like, enamored and taken back and it just didn't show leadership. You're not getting that with Aaron Glenn. I can promise you that. Now, what I won't promise you is that Aaron Glenn is absolutely going to fix this, because I don't know what the hell Woody Johnson's doing.